Hey, you guys. Time once again for a movie retrospective. Going only back to the 90s this time only. Such a long time ago.
Yeah. I remember when this one came out.
1997, this came out. This is Event Horizon. That's very interesting because the very same day, or actually I think it was the next day, that someone in the YouTube comments requested this movie, I had just noticed that Netflix had either just added it or it was just in the trending because I hadn't seen it before. So I was like, well, shit, I guess we'll do that one.
Yeah, maybe somebody that had Netflix saw it
and said, maybe said, hey, that would be a good one to do. This was one that I think I saw when it came out, and then I kind of, like, forgot about it. Because this is another one of those ones that came out, and it did really, really badly, like, at the box office. And, like, you know, critics were kind of like, meh. But then, like, later on, it kind of, you know, got a big cult following. So it was another kind of one of those. This was actually directed, I'm not sure if you know this, but this was directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, who also did Soldier.
Okay.
He did he's probably best known for doing the Mortal Kombat movie, the first one, which was really successful. He did Alien vs. Predator. He's done like a bunch of the Resident Evil movies.
I was thinking at the time, some of the shots and some of the sets, and it looks like, yeah, it was like, that looks like something out of Soldier.
Well, yeah, see, you called it.
Yeah.
Because it's the same director.
That. It's a different kind of story, but I guess it's in the same universe. I guess it might.
Yeah, I guess it could be. Kinda.
Although I'm going to say Soldier's in Ridley Scott's future, and Ridley Scott's version of the
future.
That's basically what they said.
The thing about this one is that I think how it started out, like the script that was first going around, was actually more like Alien. Yeah. You know what I mean? Whereas what attacked the ship was like tentacled aliens.
Yeah.
So I guess when Paul W.S. Anderson got hold of the screenplay. Because he had actually, like I said, he did the first Mortal Kombat, which was like a huge success. And he got offered the sequel to that, which was Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And he said, no, I don't really want to direct that. He's like, he was sick of doing PG-13 movies.
Yeah.
So he wanted to do a rated R movie. So he liked this script, but he's like, well, it's too much like Alien. He's like, I want to make it more like a classic haunted house story, like The Shining or The Haunting or something like that, only in space.
Yeah, and that's what he's got. And basically, this is a haunted ship. It's a lot, actually, in a way, it kind of reminded me a lot of Disney's The Black Hole.
It is kind of similar to that, in the sense,
an expedition to find a fucking abandoned ghost ship, basically. And that's how the movie starts. It's that premise.
And in the sense that you're also getting kind of like a sci-fi slash gothic crossover a little bit. Because this really does look like you got, you know, your sci-fi element, but you also have your sort of possession element.
Yeah. And for you youngsters that haven't seen The Black Hole, go see The Black Hole.
Yeah, we did a review of that.
We did a review of it. It's Disney's only science fiction film. It was kind of like a gothic horror.
Yeah, except in space. Which this one kind of is too, except this one is more like, it's funny to me that some people say that, you know, yeah, it is similar to Alien. It is similar to, you know, The Shining and things like that. But to me, it's more similar to Hellraiser.
Yeah.
I guess because of all the gore and like the sadomasochistic sort of gore. Also very similar in premise to Solaris, the Russian movie, which came out in the 70s. And they actually did, I think did like an English language remake of that. Wasn't Cillian Murphy in that, I want to say, or something? I remember it being good. But it's essentially the same premise, whereas, you know, here's this experimental ship with a gravity drive on it called the Event Horizon, and it went missing, and 7 years later it turns up again, like in an orbit around Neptune. So this crew that are kind of like the alien crew, like kind of working class Joes, so they have to go out there on this ship called the Lewis and Clark, and they have to go check it out and see if there's anybody else, like, you know, alive on it or anything.
Yeah, same premise as The Black Hole.
Yeah, and they're taking with them the guy that invented the gravity drive, who's played by Sam Neill, who's playing Dr. Weir, and who may or may not be kind of crazy, even from the beginning, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think that. Because here's the, and it, most people have seen Event Horizon, I think, but, or at least know what the premise is. I mean, basically, the ship has gone into a black hole, because that's what it was supposed to do. It was supposed to, like, the gravity drive was supposed to, like, make black holes, and then it, you know, sucks it into another, or it goes like you know, do a warp like in Warhammer.
It becomes a singularity, and they punch a hole through the dimensions.
So they can get some work. But it was actually supposed to go.
He explains it. The science doesn't really hold up, but it doesn't matter. It's just a movie.
Well, and nowadays you wouldn't really have to explain it because I think most people that would be watching a sci-fi movie would understand what a wormhole is. Yeah, so all you have to say is, "Oh, it's a wormhole," and everybody gets that. But, you know, back in the 90s, I guess they thought that maybe, so he had to do the thing where he took, like, the centerfold and folded it in half. And I was like, taking a budget pencil through that? Yep, there it goes.
Me and Jenny just kind of tapping our fingers.
It's like, yeah, we know how that works.
Tell us what a wormhole is.
Well, you know, like I said, maybe
it's like traveling, but not moving.
And then space goes back like that, and everything's Jake.
Like in Dune.
Yeah. So that's the thing where, so it was supposed to be, the Event Horizon was actually supposed to be making a black hole and going through a wormhole and going to Proxima Centauri. However, it went into some dimension and they're not entirely sure what it was. However, as the movie goes on, you find out it is essentially a hell dimension.
Kind of, yeah.
Or the Clive Barker dimension, as I like to call it.
Makes your fears and everything come true, I guess.
Yeah. And also,
so almost kind of like Forbidden Planet.
Yeah, like that kind of too.
Yeah, where they found that alien machine that made your id, gave your id a way of making itself manifest, usually as a big-ass monster.
Yeah. Because I feel like, too, he also kind of had a thing where the ship itself became, like, a sentient being.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I wasn't buying that part, but that's what they were making it. That's what they were trying to make it sound.
Yeah, and, well, like I said, I think that's where comparisons to, like, The Shining and The Haunting and stuff like that, because, like I said, I got way more of, like, a Hellraiser or a Solaris vibe.
Yeah.
But I think that when he said he wanted to make The Shining in space or The Haunting in space, I think he was talking more about the... about making the ship an entity, like a living entity, much like the Overlook Hotel or the house in, in The Haunting.
Yeah, and I must admit, it doesn't really work. It didn't work for me.
The thing about this, though, it's like, it's weird because, so this came out, what ended up happening with this movie was, one, it was super rushed, because what ends up happening is that they give, Anderson like $60 million to make this. However, they said, well, we have Titanic coming out later this year, so we want like a hit movie like before Titanic comes out so we can have like however many hits in a year or whatever. So they gave the money, but they said you only have, you know, X amount of time, and it was like some not enough amount of time. The problem arose when normally, I guess according to like the Directors Guild or whatever, you're supposed to have a minimum of 10 weeks for the editing process. But because the studio had already, you know, slated a release date for Event Horizon, he ended up only having 6 weeks. But in practice, he really only ended up having 4 weeks because he was still doing second unit stuff, like in those in those first 2 weeks that he was supposed to be editing it. So what ended up happening was that the first cut of this movie was 2 hours and 10 minutes long, and they showed it to test audiences, and test audiences didn't like it, mostly because it was way too gory, and the studio didn't like it either, because they didn't expect it. They thought it was just going to be like a sci-fi monster movie, I guess, and it's like they didn't expect all the evisceration, like all the eye gouging and stuff that happens in this movie. So, you know, there was a lot of negative feedback, so Paramount comes out and was like, well, can you take about 30 minutes out of it? Mostly the gore, but some of the other stuff was cut as well. So they ended up like taking a bunch of stuff out. So
when that would have been better with the gore in it.
I think so. Paul Anderson thought that as well. So he was like very, very disappointed, but he was like on a very, very tight schedule. Right. Not all the scenes that were cut were gore. Some of it was like additional character development, you know, additional scenes like, you know, kind of establishing the hell premise. But a lot of that was taken out. So what ended up happening, though, so the movie comes out, like, in the theaters. It cost $60 million to make, and it only made, like, $26.5 million back.
Yeah.
So it was a big failure.
Yeah.
But the weird thing about it is that, however, like, a year or two later, when it was released on DVD, it was, like, a massive hit, like, suddenly.
Yeah, well, we know what it was like back then.
Yeah. I mean, this is still, this is 90s. This is 97.
But I know exactly what it was like back then.
Yeah.
You had Blockbuster.
True.
You had all those damn video rental stores.
Yeah.
And kids were, when I was a kid growing up, it was a lot more likely that you were going to be able to go down to Blockbuster and rent some shit for you and your buddies, you know, over the weekend.
Yeah, Friday or Saturday night.
Friday, Saturday night.
That's kind of what everybody did.
Yeah, that's what you did. And so it was more convenient than going to the theater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was more, it was cheaper.
True.
It was cheaper. And a movie that you would rent and love, you probably wouldn't like to have paid the damn full price to go through and see it through the theater.
And I think that kind of still applies nowadays. Like, people will watch stuff on Netflix and be like, oh, it's like, it was so good. But it's like, they wouldn't necessarily have risked, like, spending $12, $13, $14,
$15. And then had they spent $12 on it, they would have said, well, it wasn't that good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because we came from an era where we'd watch the same movie fucking 5, 6 times, 8 times. Because they would play it over and over on HBO and Cinemax. Yeah. So some movies just kind of got burned into you, like the old Flash Gordon. I fucking love that movie. I didn't realize how good it looked until I got it on Blu-ray on a modern TV. And I saw that one in the theater too. But when you're a kid, you know what I mean? You're not really paying attention. Why is it not as cool as it was when the theater? Well, you know, the theater was HD, basically, you know, and your TV were fuzzy.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know. Yeah, this is something that would do real well at Blockbuster.
Yeah, because it seems like something that people would be like, oh, this looks cool. And I think word of mouth got around about it too, especially among horror fans, that it was like pretty gory and like had some disturbing imagery. So a lot of people like picked up on it. So as soon as it came out on DVD and it was like a big, huge success, Paramount goes back to Paul W.S. Anderson and says, hey, let's do a director's cut. Because we know you were mad about having to take all of that footage out.
They're renting it. It doesn't matter if it's in the theater or not.
Yeah. So it's like, but what ended up happening was in the interim, however long it was before the theatrical release, because it used to be longer than it is now, because now it just seems like a couple months later, like it's out on streaming or whatever. But back then it was usually like a year or two.
Yeah, a year.
So in the interim, all of the footage that had been cut out had been lost. It had been like misfiled, or it was destroyed or something like that. Like somebody just misplaced it or it wasn't stored properly or whatever. So the only thing that still exists of his original cut, the one that they showed the test audiences, is like a VHS tape.
Ooh.
So it's because somebody found it, like a friend of his that was like at Paramount or whatever. It's like, hey, I found this is your rough cut, right? But it's on VHS, so it's all video quality.
Yeah.
Now they do know, like I know that there were a couple scenes maybe they're on the Blu-ray now. I'm not sure. Like I said, but they're not really good quality. And like I said, it's not all gore. Like some of the gore is extended, especially like the one scene where they're watching the video of like the last of the Event Horizon crew and like what happened to them. And it was just like this this horrible like orgy of like sex and blood and gore and everything. Like I said, it's very Clive Barker. So I think that was extended because the way it is now, it's like I feel like this movie. And maybe, I guess I'm not the person to judge because I've been watching gory movies like my whole entire life. So I feel like this movie kind of got a reputation for being really, really gory.
Okay.
And to me, it doesn't seem all that gory.
Yeah, you were going to say, you said really reputation for being gory, and I said bland. Because at the time that I saw it, I remembered it just being like, yeah, whatever. Because we took this shit for granted by the time 97 rolled around.
Well, I mean, to me, it seemed like, I mean, Hellraiser, to me, seemed gorier. And that had come out, like, 10 years previously.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Candyman was gorier, and that had come out 5 years. The thing about it is, like, there's a lot of gore, but it's very quick cut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not like you can sit there and focus on, you know, somebody getting their eyes gouged out or anything like that. They just kind of show the aftermath of things. And the effects are really good. Like, I especially like the dude that gets, like, eviscerated, like, and hung up and all his guts are down on the table, like Silence of the Lambs style. Like what Hannibal Lecter did to that guy in his fucking prison cell or in his, you know, in his cell or whatever. Like, he hung him up. I do like that. But like I said, I don't feel like they linger on it long enough to say that it's gory. I think that when I was reading like some people's comments about it, I think what made people think maybe that it was gorier than it was is that they thought it was just like a standard sci-fi movie. So they weren't expecting it to be Hellraiser level gory. You know what I mean? So I guess it was more like a surprise thing than a, oh my god, it's so gory thing.
Yeah, I, you know, when I saw it, I was just like, you know, I guess in our generation, there's a certain amount of like a of diminishing returns. You know, had I saw this at maybe 10, maybe it would have made a big impression on me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But I you know, I saw this, you know, after I was out of the army already. I must have been about, I don't know, 26, something like that.
Yeah,
27, and it just went right through me. I was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it just,
I didn't really care.
It didn't make much of an impression the first time I saw it. I liked it the second time that I watched it more.
It has good sets.
Yeah, the production design is gorgeous.
I don't find it to be a very driving story. I don't really find it to have much of a flavor. It's very bland to me. It didn't really have much of a gestalt to it. I thought Black Hole, I thought was a lot better.
This, you know,
Black Hole has a better tone.
Yeah.
Kind of weird, you know what I mean? Dark.
You know,
even
what,
though not a lot happens in the Black Hole.
Yeah. You know what kind of bothers me about this one? It's like, I really like all the actors in it. Sam Neill is good in it. Like, Lawrence Fishburne is in it as the captain. He's great.
Yeah, he is,
you know,
good job.
I really like the guy that was in it that was in Dog Soldiers. I can't remember what his name is right now, but I love that guy.
Same guy from, same bad guy from Soldier.
From Soldier, too. That guy's in it too, yeah. So it's like, all the acting performances are good and stuff like that. I do feel like this is a movie that would probably benefit from having the footage that was cut out put back in it.
Probably would.
You know, and it's sad because Paul W.S. Anderson said that's probably never going to happen because I don't know where that footage went to. It's like all I have is like the shitty thing, and obviously we can't put that back in the movie.
I found it to be bland. If it had the stuff that was cut out put back into it, probably would have made a better impression.
Yeah, because to me it seems like it's a little bit... it comes off as a little disjointed.
And it comes off as being a ripoff.
To me, a little bit, yeah.
And I couldn't tell you what a ripoff of what. I don't know.
Well,
it
like
just,
a
it
lot
doesn't
of,
look original.
A lot of people have said, I mean, it obviously pays homage to, I mean, we'll put it that way. It obviously pays homage to a lot of different movies.
Alien,
Solaris.
Yeah.
Like I said, Solaris is almost the same exact story, and that came out in the early
70s. I think Leviathan maybe, or something.
Yeah, or
water.
Something like that.
It just seems like a ripoff of everything all happening at once, but it doesn't really seem like, it doesn't seem to have its own character to me. But maybe it would have if it had the other stuff that was
taken out. Like I said, it's kind of a shame. I wish I could see it the way it was kind of originally intended to be seen, because I really like the premise. I mean, I like the premise of Clive Barker in space. I know that one of the later Hellraiser movies, they actually did go to fucking space, I think. I don't think I saw it. But it's like, this very much seemed to me like that, which is an intriguing concept.
I think it needed a classical score, and it had to have horror score to it to give the tone that they wanted. And a lot of the sets had to be a lot darker. As dark as Alien 1.
Yeah.
And Alien 2. The stuff is too well lit, and everything's very metallic blue.
Yeah.
That's just, and it just didn't tonally strike me. Especially, you know, like I said, on par with the Black Hole.
Yeah.
The Black Hole, to me, has an eerier feeling to it than this, even though this one was gory compared to the Black Hole. And it, and the Black Hole had a simpler, more driving story behind it.
Yeah.
This one actually was, I think it was a little too fragmented and too complicated and too many characters, I think. And too many characters that just you don't really seem to really give a shit about.
Well, that's why I think it would have benefited from a longer runtime, because I feel like, because some of the scenes that were cut out were more like character development type of scenes. Because, you know, the character development scenes that are in there are good. I just feel like there aren't enough of them, or the editing of it was strange. So it's like, it seemed to me that I couldn't really, you know, get a handle on anybody enough. Like I said, I liked the gore, but they needed more of it. I like the premise. I really, really like the cinematography, the production design. Like, the inside of the Event Horizon looks really, really cool. Like, especially that gravity drive and, like, the wall around it. That fucking crazy, like, funhouse type of thing they go into in the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like that needed more of that. And I'm going to say that, I guess, because a lot of movies that came out in the 90s, I'm not a fan of the 90s. As a decade, in general.
It was hit and miss, man. I liked Matrix. I mean, there was some good shit.
Yeah, but, and actually, it's funny that you mentioned the Matrix, because that was one of the things. You know what I think it is? And this, I kind of said this to you while we were watching this. I feel like in the 90s, I mean, because, you know, I had grown up, and to a large extent, you had grown up during the 80s, like, kind of in the goth industrial scene, like, being into that kind of music and, you know, into that kind of look. So it seemed like in the 90s when everybody discovered it and figured now every mainstream movie has to have, like, gothy-looking characters and this hard-driving, like, industrial music and stuff like that. Yeah. To me, since I had already been into that stuff, it seemed very try-hard and it seemed like a commodification.
Yeah, they never really could get it right.
And they never could... Yeah, exactly. And it always seemed like...
The Craft. Good movie, but they never really quite got the goth feel.
Yeah, and although Firouzza.
Firouzza, well, yeah.
She looked fucking great. We actually might do that one next week.
But I was talking about the music.
Yeah, there's just something about it that you can tell that the people that made them were just kind of like jumping on a bandwagon because it's like suddenly, oh, you know, the goth look and industrial music is cool. So we have to be cool. So we have to put this in our movie. And they didn't really know anything about it. And I think in a lot of ways that kind of like pissed me off about it. It's the reason why I like The Matrix, but the first time I saw it, I was kind of like, whatever, here we go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, those directors, though, were into that, though.
They were, yeah. It seemed to me that trying to take something that had been, like, underground for so long, and then suddenly everybody wants a piece of it.
Well, it seems like they kind of cleaned it up to make it mainstream.
They did,
And it didn't quite... Didn't quite pay respects to where the original source was.
Yeah, and I think that kind of annoyed me. And I think that contributed to my, not necessarily dislike, because I did like a lot of movies that came out in the 90s. You know, for reference, I graduated from high school in 1990. So this was kind of like my college years were the 90s. And I just, even the music, after like 1994, I kind of like... was not into it anymore, just because it seemed like a lot of the music that I liked, it's like, you know, it kind of went mainstream. It's like everyone kind of, I know it's dumb to say like it sold out and stuff like that, but a lot of it just got not as good. Everything seemed like it was just getting blander and blander. You know, maybe that's just my perception.
But you're talking about, look, let's get back on track. If you want to talk about damn horror movies in space, there's another one that came out after this I think did a better job. I think it was called Pandorum.
This one is kind of similar to that, too. Yeah.
Pandorum, I liked that movie. I liked it a lot better than this one.
Yeah.
And it did have me going. I'm not gonna spoil Pandorum. Get that one.
I can't even remember what year that came. When did that come out? 2004? I think it was 2004.
2000-something. That one there was like, wow. It kept me interested.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of flips. Twists to it. You're like, no shit. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
I think we saw that. I can't remember which one that was.
And if you want gothic horror in space, you go for The Black Hole. Walt Disney's The Black Hole. And I don't think you can get it on Blu-ray. Maybe you can.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I think I tried to find it on Blu-ray. I'll have to go look and see if mine's a Blu-ray.
Yeah, that definitely seems more like an old school gothic horror story. Yeah. Just set in
basically,
space.
That's damn Dracula / Frankenstein in space.
Yeah. Which, yeah, like I said, that's cool.
And it has an eerie... kind of high class feel to it. It looks, it's held up. We saw it recently.
Yeah.
And it, there are some parts where you can see some wires.
Yeah.
But I didn't notice them too much in the Blu-ray. I think they might have.
I didn't notice
digitally put taking them out.
Yeah.
Because people complain that there's a couple scenes where you can see a robot hanging on a wire. It's not really as bad as it used to be if you see it. I think it is on Blu-ray that I got it on.
I can't remember.
I played it, and I don't remember seeing any wires.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
But, you know, it's an older movie, but it looks like a very expensive, important movie, because it was. It was Disney's attempt to try to dethrone Star Wars.
I saw that in the theater.
Didn't work, but it was still a great movie. I saw it in a damn big old fucking mall on right after its opening in California when I was a kid. My dad took me to it, and they had a gigantic model of that damn ship. The ghost ship, what was it called?
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was huge. It was lit up on the inside of it and everything. It must have been about 50, 60 feet long. Size of a fucking boat. Hanging from the ceiling. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. And they were selling models of those damn Vincent and Bob, the damn flying robots. The ripoff R2-D2s.
Yeah. Man, I wish you
They were good, though. Yeah. I liked that. I liked the movie.
I did, too.
Yeah, it was just a fun movie.
The thing about it, though, is that, I mean, this movie, I will say that for a Clive Barker in space movie, I liked it better than some of the Clive Barker adaptations. Not Hellraiser, yeah. obviously, or Candyman. But I did like it better than, what was that one with the... Well, Rawhead Rex, that was terrible.
Rawhead Rex was good when you were like 16 or 17 and you were just fucking pissed drunk with your friends.
Well, that's kind of true of any movie. Yeah, like that. That one and the one with, the one with the cemetery, Midian. What the fuck is the name of that movie? I can't remember right now. The one with the monsters.
Yeah.
I just totally blanked on the
ones
name
that they lived underneath the ground.
Yeah.
Nightbreed.
There you go. Yeah. Nightbreed. I like this better than Nightbreed, or like better than the movie adaptation. Because Clive Barker movies are kind of like hit and miss.
Nightbreed was.
Some people have told me Midnight Meat Train was good, but I still haven't seen it.
Nightbreed was mostly good, but it was missing so many elements that you needed for it to
I
be
feel like excellent. That was another movie that had almost. A bunch of shit cut out of it that shouldn't have been. I mean, sometimes I think editing is, I mean, obviously editing is a good thing most of the time, but sometimes they edit too much out of things and I think that was the problem with Event Horizon. I just think that, I'm not saying it needed to be the full 2 hours and 10 minutes. I'm just saying that probably there was some stuff in there that should have been left in there. And maybe rearranged a little bit to make it like a little bit more. I really like the movie. Like, I like the look of it and stuff like that. But it wasn't one, even though I saw it at the time, it wasn't one that made a huge impression at the time. And like I said, that might have been because of my ambivalence about 90s movies in general. And, you know, another thing about the 90s, too, is that I love Scream as much as that, I love that as much as the next person. But I do feel like that was kind of responsible for, now let's do all these, like, stupid slashers with all these beautiful, college-age TV stars, like, getting cut up by people with fisherman's hooks and stuff like that. I know what you did last summer, so.
So my final verdict on Event Horizon was that it was a good movie that had been neutered. It didn't quite have the tone that I looked for. But other people might like it. That's just what I'm going
to
say about
it. Yeah. Like I said, I feel like it needed to be recut, put some of the stuff back in, needed more gore. There was a lot of gore in it, but needed more. I feel like they could have gone more in that direction if they were going to go full on the ship is possessed and it actually went to hell and then came back. Also, I think some of the character motivation could have been a bit clearer, particularly with Sam Neill's character. Because I don't know, like I said, I couldn't really tell if he had made the ship specifically because he thought that was going to happen, because he did kind of turn into a bad guy at the end, but then sort of not. Because it's like he was kind of a bad guy, but then, when that one crew member died, he looked like he was bummed out about it, even though I thought he would have been possessed by the ship at that point. So I feel like it could have just kind of been edited, so maybe, and the crew,
the crew is supposed to be kind of like a Star Trek level crew, but the problem is you can't get people to invest in characters just in one movie the same way you could with, say, like Star Trek, which is an entire series.
Yeah,
so it had to be something more along the lines of Alien 1. That's what they needed to establish. And if you actually look at the dialogue of Alien 1, not much is said. It's just a bunch of damn banter. It's very superficial, but it's very effective. And that's not what they had here. It was effective in getting you invested in a character.
Writing characters is hard. Yeah. It's particularly hard, like you said, if you don't have a whole series or a whole novel or something like that to get yourself like into this person's head. You have to convey a lot with not very much. A lot of movies fall down on that, I feel.
I mean, like in Alien 1, the two engineers you don't know anything about them, but you feel like you've known them your whole life,
because
you just watched them joke around and interact and just laugh at shit, because you know what kind of person that is. You know, what is none of that's addressed. Those are very superficial characters, but in a weird way, you know exactly what kind of person that is.
Yeah. And that is a testament.
And that's
testament,
not what you get with his.
That is a testament to not only the writing, but also the actors.
Right.
You know, I think it's like a good. And like I said, all the actors in this are good. I just think that they cut too much out of it.
Yeah.
So that they didn't really give you a chance to get to know them.
You can't talk. You can't have a character talk his way into characterization. You have to have an actor that acts.
That's it. That's
he's
a good way of putting
being
it.
That shit.
Because everything, you know, it's not. A lot of character is not what people say. It's like, it's how they, you know, carry themselves.
Yeah.
It's like their facial expressions, the way their body moves.
How they react to what somebody else, another character said.
Right. So it's probably only like maybe 20% what they say. Maybe not even that much.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of it's unspoken.
Because when Dallas tells him, is his name Parker?
I can't remember. I think
it might be Parker. When Dallas tells him, I don't want any heroics out of you. And he goes, he looks around. You go. You can say he's like, "Fuck that! I'm gonna do what I want to do." you know, he's like, "I'm gonna fucking do what I want to do. I'm gonna kill that thing." That's because you know that
because you can tell from his body language.
Just from his body language,
you can tell from his body language.
You knew exactly. I think his name was Parker.
Yeah.
I think his name was
Parker. Yeah, because I remember Sigourney Weaver yelling at him.
Yeah. Yeah, you knew exactly who Parker was. He didn't have very many lines, or not any solid lines. It was just a bunch of comments and reactions and fuck that. You know what I mean? You knew exactly who that was.
Which I feel like in Event Horizon, they tried to have that, like with that one character where, but in a way it kind of didn't work because tonally it seemed very strange. I feel like he was a little bit over the top with like, fuck this ship. And you know, when he was like, cause he got like outside the ship and then he had to like blast himself back, which was funny, but I feel like it was a little too funny for the tone of the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
that's a very fine line to walk.
They were working fast, I guess.
Yeah, and like I said, it's kind of a shame because I really love the concept. I'm not a huge fan of sci-fi horror, but, you know, there's some that I like. But, you know, so it's going to have to be, like, really good to make a huge impression on me.
I could tell these actors were kind of just, they're just getting paid. They don't know, they probably don't even know the whole story of the script of the movie. The people that worked on Alien 1, they knew they were doing something very special.
Yeah.
And they were bringing their own special magic to the table.
Special
The Thing.
Yeah.
In Carpenter's version of The Thing. Every dude on that shit, every dude in that movie knew they were on something special, and they just brought it.
Yeah.
They brought it to the table. And boy, the disappointment when E.T. fucking blew them out of the water.
That still bums me out.
Yeah.
That still makes me sad.
That's what fucked Carpenter up.
It did, like, and I feel like he really didn't recover from that ever.
He made a masterpiece, and they just went like, yeah, fuck you.
But can you, like, imagine the fucking... Well, you know, he'd already made Halloween, and he got, like, a lot of accolades for that and stuff, but it's just, like, when he made, like, the movie that he'd been wanting to make.
Yeah.
And then, like, he's like, and here it is, and everyone's like, eh.
Yeah,
it's not so good.
The Thing still stands to this day.
That's what I mean. It's still good.
Evidently, they're remaking that thing again.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, okay.
Knock it off.
Yeah.
I was on a radio show.
You know it's going to be CG.
Well, of course. I was on a radio show a day or two ago, like in the UK, and they were asking me about horror movies, and they said, how did I feel about like all the remakes and stuff? I said, look, I'm not averse to the very concept of remakes, but I do wish that if someone was going to remake a movie, they would remake a movie that was a good idea that was poorly executed the first time. It's like, don't take a movie like
The Thing.
That's
done.
That's like a masterpiece and just be like, I'm making it.
Yeah, unless, I can do that better.
Unless you do something like Suspiria, where you did something in the same spirit, but you did something totally different and your own with it.
That's going to piss off Thing fans.
But I'm just saying, I don't think that that's going to be the case when they remake The Thing. I just feel like that's not going
to
be the
They're
case.
Trying to remake Escape from New York. Leave Escape from New York alone.
That's what I mean. Just
leave Krussel alone. Okay?
Leave Krussel alone.
Yeah. Leave Krussel alone. Where's my fucking blanket? Put it right.
I should have brought my blanket in here for you to like put it over here. But yeah, all right. So anyway, Event Horizon is on Netflix right now. Watch it again if you haven't watched in a long time. Like I said, I liked it better the second time. It made more of an impression, but I still wish that it had been allowed to like just be what it was to start with instead of like all the studio meddling and getting cut up and stuff like that. Because it might have been like a way better movie, like I said, because I really like the idea. All right, so we will see you next time. Bye.